Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Kevin Dillon, Executive Director of the Connecticut Airport Authority. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Of course, the crown jewel of the Airport Authority really is Bradley International Airport in Windsor Locks, and you are on track for another year of continued passenger growth when the final numbers are tallied for 2019. How have things been going at Bradley?
We've had a lot of success at Bradley, and as you point out, this will be our seventh consecutive year of passenger growth since we've taken over operation of the airport from the state. So we feel very fortunate that the airlines continue to make investments in Bradley Airport. But we're, you know, all focused at the airport on the customer experience. That's really what we're trying to enhance. We know for a long time, folks weren't thrilled with the service levels at Bradley when it was being operated by the state. So we put a lot of focus on that. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, just recently we completed our new airport entrance road into the airport. That's enhancing the capacity, and it's making the trip onto the airport a lot more convenient. But the exciting thing about that project is that it has opened up the space for us to start construction on the new ground transportation center. So that's a $210 million project that in and of itself will be a significant customer service improvement, because it's going to locate all of the rental cars that today are scattered in and around the airport in one central location that can be easily accessed on foot from the terminal.
What's the timeline for that project?
It's about a three-year construction period. We started construction on it a couple of months ago, so we're very anxious to get it done. We want to assure folks, though, that you will not run into delays or issues accessing the airport. We've been able to isolate this site, so it really won't impact any of our ongoing operations.
Once you go ahead and move all the rental car agencies under one roof, that is going to open up other space near the airport, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, some of that space we have earmarked right now for additional cargo facilities at the airport, as well as additional surface parking. You know, as we continue to grow at the airport, certainly parking is a need. Right now, very convenient parking at Bradley. We have more space than we actually need for the numbers of passengers that we're handling today. But last year, we handled about 6.7 million passengers. I truly believe Bradley Airport can be a 10 million passenger airport. So as you look to plan for that, that's why all of these improvements are very important to us, the roadway work, the ground transportation center, and certainly looking forward to creating more parking at the airport as well.
You talked about the customer comfort slash convenience factor and how you've been working to improve that. What sort of things have you been doing, and what are the expectations of today's flyers? They're certainly different than they were 30 years ago.
Absolutely. Flyers today are very, very savvy. They compare airports. They compare amenities at airports. And, you know, why, you know, it's so important to us. It's not only we want to deliver a good experience for the passengers, but we know that's our competitive edge. You know, as we compete against airports down in New York and up in Boston, we know we're never going to have the route structure that those very, very large airports have. But what Boston and New York will never have is the convenience of Bradley. So we really want to tout that to folks. You know, stay home at your hometown airport, and we can deliver a great, great experience for you. So we're focused on, very basic improvements in service levels, such as enhancements to our parking, enhancements to concession offerings. But we also focus quite a bit on the physical structure of the airport, because we believe that contributes to the passenger experience and customer service. So What you see us undertaking are various projects within the terminal building that enhance passenger flow. That's why, you know, not too long ago, we added a new elevator bank to enhance vertical circulation. We're looking at projects right now that potentially will consolidate the entire area in the center of the building for a security checkpoint and have people exit the building on the ends of the building. That's all aimed with an eye towards handling those 10 million passengers that we'd like to see at Bradley, while at the same time maintaining that customer convenience.
You mentioned route development. Where would you like to fly from Bradley that you don't currently directly?
Well, we have a number of candidate cities that we'd like to add to our menu of service at the airport. Principally, we're still focused on the West Coast. Certainly, Seattle is our number one ask. And there's some obvious business connections that we believe exist between Seattle and here. Certainly, the aerospace business is big in both locations. But we're also focused on cities such as Phoenix. Phoenix would be a nice addition. There's a lot of folks from this area that have second homes out in the Phoenix area. So that's a large leisure population that's going back and forth, but there's also business connections as well. But we're also focused on cities such as Austin, Texas, Milwaukee, Nashville, and Jacksonville. You know, those are really the top asks when you look at the domestic routes that we're after. And, you know, I get asked all the time, well, how do you decide, you know, those particular cities? We have a lot of data that's available to us. In fact, we know by zip code in the state where people are looking to fly to and what airports they're using today to do that. So we take that data, we present it, you know, with the business case that we make for the low cost to airlines operating at Bradley. And that's been our secret to being able to attract as much service as we have over the past 7 years.
Now, internationally, you have the flight to Dublin via Aer Lingus. What would you like to see added to your international menu?
Well, Aer Lingus has been a great addition. The route to Dublin is doing very, very well. In fact, this past year, they actually enhanced the aircraft operating on the route. We now have a A320neo aircraft, a long-range aircraft, versus the 757 that was operating. So that itself brought some amenities to that service. It now has Wi-Fi service on the aircraft. It's added additional first-class seats or business class seats on the aircraft. So it's a great service. We try to sell that to folks that it's a lot more than Dublin. It's connectivity to all of Europe. Because when we negotiated the agreement with Aer Lingus to come in, they agreed to tie this flight into 26 separate cities throughout Europe. So you can land in Dublin and very conveniently connect to another flight that'll take you anywhere in Europe. So they've been a good partner. But we do think because of the success, we can now start looking at other international carriers as well. And by far and away, our number one destination that we're after is London service. We think that would be extremely successful. If you look at those numbers that I referred to earlier, that zip code data, it shows that there's an awful lot of demand in our market area to go to London.
When you have that conversation with an airline about adding a service, how does that go? What does an airport need to prove to a carrier?
Well, first and foremost, you have to have the market. You have to be able to go in and present that there are folks in your market area that will use your airport and are willing to fly to those destinations. Then you have to make a business case to the airlines. And that's why we're very focused at Bradley on our overall costs. You know, not to get overly complicated, but there's a measurement in this business that's called cost per employment. And all that is, it's the total amount of money that airlines pay to an airport in the aggregate divided by the number of departing passengers. And that yields a mathematical result that airlines can compare airport to airport as to how efficient and how cost-effective a particular airport is. And I'm pleased to say at Bradley, we have the lowest cost per employment of all of the airports in the New England region. So when you go in and you can present a healthy market, you also present to them that you have the lowest cost of any airport in New England, and in some cases are willing to throw incentives on the table as well, it becomes a very compelling business case. You know, the incentive portion is something that, you know, I wish had never occurred in the industry, but unfortunately many, many airports across the country are competing for these services. And it's become an expectation of the airline. So you also have to be prepared to put those incentives on the table as well.
I know roughly a year ago it came out that there was talk of maybe tweaking the name of Bradley or making people know the geography of the airport. And I flew recently and I saw Hartford Bradley Airport, and I'm not sure if that was by design or just happened to be the way it showed up on the ticket. But where are you in that process of looking at the name?
It is something that we spent the last year taking a look at. In fact, at our upcoming board meeting, it's going to be on the agenda for us to discuss it with the board so that final action could be taken on the matter. You know, the reason why this initially got a look is to help marketing, right? If you look at, you know, Bradley Airport and you're trying to sell that to somebody out in Phoenix, do they necessarily know the geographic location where that's at? So if someone's looking to fly to the Boston, New York market area, you know, would they necessarily look first at Bradley Airport if they don't know geographically where we're located? So that was the impetus behind looking at it. But the reality is you need a lot of partners to make something like that work if you put a geographic identifier in the name. And just as you pointed out, if you travel across the country today, on most flight information display boards that people look at to see what is their flight status, it's not listed as Bradley Airport. It's listed as Hartford today. So you would have to have all of these airports agree to start changing terminology within their flight information systems. You'd have to have the airlines change the information within their reservation systems. So it's not necessarily an easy thing to do, even if you think it's a good idea. And I think the other thing that needs to be considered is the legacy of the Bradley name. Very, very important to the veteran community. The airport is named after Eugene Bradley, a World War II flyer who unfortunately died at the airport. But Bradley Airport has really become symbolic of all of the efforts and sacrifices that veterans across the country have made. So you have a lot of strong feelings within the veteran community about making sure that Bradley stays in the name if a geographic identifier is going to be added.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Kevin Dillon, Executive Director of the Connecticut Airport Authority. When you think about Bradley Airport, you probably think about passenger service, but it's much more than that. It's also a lot of those trucks full of Amazon items that you see on the roads. A lot of those packages come through Bradley.
Absolutely. Cargo is an extremely important business for us at Bradley. And, you know, I always point out to folks, if you looked at the return that we get from passenger traffic, you know, per square foot that we have to dedicate area to passenger services versus the return we get from cargo per square foot, looking at the area we dedicate to cargo, it's night and day that passenger traffic yields the biggest return to the airport by far. But why cargo is so important to us, it's a huge generator of employment. And we feel as the Connecticut Airport Authority, we have an obligation to contribute to the overall state economy. And that's a great contribution that we can make by generating jobs at the airport. So over the past year and a half, Amazon has started an operation at the airport. It's through their ground handler known as Pinnacle. But they've been a great addition to the airport. In fact, if you look at 2019, cargo is up about 30% as compared to the prior year. And a lot of that is certainly the result of Amazon. I mean, certainly we have other partners at the airport as well. FedEx and UPS, for example, are also great partners. They've been at Bradley for a long time, and they contribute to that overall cargo business and generation of jobs. So we are looking forward to hopefully having Amazon do more. Right now, we are one of the few airports in the Northeast that they do have a cargo operation, and we are telling them that we'd love to see them expand at the airport because, again, that continues to generate more employment.
What's the breakdown passenger versus cargo, roughly, for Bradley?
In terms of
flights?
Well, the cargo, you know, you have dedicated all freighters, right? So you're carrying a lot of the cargo on limited flights. If you look at cargo, just off the top of my head, you probably have about 10 cargo flights per day. When you look at the level of passenger traffic that we have at the airport, that's roughly 100 flights, 100 in and 100 out each day.
Are there any limitations to the facility that need to be addressed in terms of the sizes of planes you can receive?
No, right now, we do have the ability. The design aircraft for the Bradley terminal was a 757 aircraft, and as you know, those are starting to be phased out. But certainly when you look at the wingspan of that aircraft, it can easily accommodate what we're operating today in terms of the A320s are a predominant aircraft and 737 at the airport. But if we were to start bringing in more wide bodies into the airport, we would simply realign our gates. One of the things that we're trying to do, and it goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, being very aware of our costs and try to keep our costs low, we try to push off major infrastructure projects such as the development of a new terminal building as long as we can, because that helps us reduce those costs to the airlines. But again, as we start to inch towards that 10 million passenger number that we're targeting, we will certainly need to have additional terminal facilities built. But our plan, if you look at our master plan, it actually stages it out. We wouldn't just go and build a complete new terminal with 20 new gates. We would essentially start to expand the existing terminal into a new terminal area footprint by maybe adding two gates at a time.
Now, I know some of this depends on the status of the governor's transportation plan, but there has been talk that the Connecticut Airport Authority might be interested in Tweed, New Haven, or maybe Sikorsky in Stratford / Bridgeport. Are you still eyeing those facilities?
Absolutely. The governor certainly believes that part of his economic development plan calls for a second commercial service airport to serve Southern Connecticut, and we certainly believe there's real opportunity there for one of those airports to fulfill that role. What I think is very important, though, as this is looked at, is that there is coordination among all of the airports here in the state, whether it's Sikorsky that's selected or whether it's Tweed that's selected. Those airports have to coordinate with Bradley, and we need to coordinate with them. You know, this market is not really large enough to just have unconstrained competition going on. So, you know, the actions that we take could hurt a Tweed, and vice versa. The actions that a Tweed would take in terms of developing air service could impact what's happening at Bradley. So you don't want to get to the point where you've divided this market up so much that essentially you have two unhealthy airports in the process. But I think it's an exciting time for aviation here. I think people are looking for alternatives, particularly to Westchester County and the New York airports. And some of the traffic that we've had difficulty attracting out of Fairfield County, it's logical that they would look to utilize a Tweed Airport or a Sikorsky Airport. So we're certainly looking forward to that moving forward and some decisions being made.
Aside from the governor's CT 2030 plan, are you looking for anything else from the legislature this year?
One of the things that we constantly try to stress to the legislature is that we have had the success that we've had over the past 7 years because we are a quasi-public agency and an agency that needs to operate separate from the state constraints. And one of the biggest constraints that we still have on us, which was unfortunately put into the enabling legislation that established the Airport Authority, is the fact that we're still tied to the state retirement system. And while I understand, you know, for our unionized employees, we have statewide unions, that's an issue that is not going to change. But we have repeatedly asked the legislature to consider allowing us to take our management folks out of the retirement system. And, you know, some quick calculations looking at that, we could probably save as much as $2 million a year by removing ourselves from that retirement system. So that's an annual ask that we make at the legislature. Unfortunately, we haven't been too successful, but we're going to be right there again this year asking for them to consider it. But I think in the bigger picture, the thing that we're asking the legislature, although it doesn't necessarily take the form of legislation, is to keep in mind, you know, some of the restrictions that they're continuing to try to talk about putting on quasi-public agencies will really hamper our ability to get things done at Bradley and to have the success that we've had. You know, when I first came to Connecticut back in 2012, I did have to operate under the DOT for a short period of time until I could transition into this new organization. And I can tell you some of the constraints that the state agencies operate under would make it very, very difficult for us to be successful.
Remind us, it's not just Bradley that the Airport Authority operates. You have general aviation airports elsewhere in the state.
Absolutely. We also operate five other airports, five general aviation airports. We operate Groton, New London, Waterbury, Oxford, Hartford, Brainerd, and Wyndham and Danielson airports as well. And we also have the role of regulatory oversight for every airport within the state, even the municipal airports, where we provide guidance and we administer a state grant program for capital improvements at those airports. So there's a lot on our plate at the Airport Authority. Our general aviation airports, you know, play a very unique role. Each one fulfills a role. Waterbury Oxford, for example, you know, is a significant corporate base. We've been able to attract a lot of traffic out of New York, corporate aircraft traffic into Waterbury. So that's a very, very successful airport. And certainly Groton, New London, it's our other Part 139 airport, meaning that they can have commercial service at Groton, New London, and we're working on that as well.
It was back in October that the B-17 crash occurred at Bradley. Very tragic crash. Is the airport fully recovered from the damage that occurred?
Well, we're still working through some of the damage that occurred to our de-icing reclamation facility. A lot of people have confused that, you know, with is that in, you know, hampering our ability to de-ice aircraft. Has nothing to do with the actual de-icing of the aircraft. This is a facility that when we capture spent glycol, de-icing fluid, it's stored and processed in this facility. So that still has not been brought back online. We have to go through a process of reconstructing that facility. So how we're handling the glycol today is we are trucking it off the airport and it's being processed remotely. But that's probably the remaining item for us at the airport. But as you point out, very, very tragic accident. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are still with the families that were so impacted by that accident.
Aside from the de-icing procedures, has anything else changed in how the airport operates or does business?
No. We've gotten the question as to, you know, are we changing our policy that allows aircraft to come in and be put on display, vintage aircraft? And the reality of that question comes back to FAA regulations. I mean, even if we did want to restrict that type of aircraft from coming into the airport, we can't under federal rules. As an airport that takes federal grants, we have to comply with FAA regulations, which says that the airport has to be open to any certificated aircraft. Okay. Now, the FAA may look at this accident and make some changes as to how they certificate vintage aircraft or how they allow them to operate or be used for displays. But that is something that on a state level, we don't have the ability to do, even if we wanted to make that change. But there was nothing, you know, that we saw in the submissions from the Collings Foundation to bring the aircraft to the airport that would have had us do anything different. But admittedly, you know, their certification work is between the FAA and themselves, not the airport.
In our last minute, you've been in the business for a while. What is one tip you would have for flyers that they might not know about?
Most flyers, you know, that I run into, they typically only fly once a year. So they're not really savvy on some of the improvements that airlines have made. You know, get familiar with the airline. Understand the automated tools that they now have for you. Every airline has a website. Every airline has an app. A lot of good information on that. And I would also tell those infrequent flyers, please get up to speed on the TSA regulations. And one thing, if I could just throw in before we go, Real ID is very important. Come this October, if your driver's license is not Real ID compliant, you will not be able to use it as an ID to fly. So very important to make sure that your license is Real ID compliant.
He is Kevin Dillon, Executive Director of the Connecticut Airport Authority. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact.
Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.